You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Get started on your painting project this summer and save big money at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust 5-in-1 Spray Paint lets you choose from 5 unique spray patterns with a twist of the dial, so you can get a professional, corrosion-resistant finish on every project. Save big money on Rust-Oleum Spray Paint now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. We are officially entering into week 15 of the NFL. I swear this season has flown by. I don't even know how we're like 2 weeks from Christmas.
Literally.
I don't understand. I literally feel like we were just at the NFL trade deadline and like Halloween. So I don't know what happened to November. It disappeared. And yeah, but here we are. We're in week 15 and Chiefs are 12-1, locked into the playoffs, locked into the AFC West, AFC West champions for the 9th time in a row, which is just insane, incredible, absolute dominance over the entire AFC West. And even though the AFC West has gotten pretty good this season, minus the Raiders, whatever, but the Broncos, the Chargers, they're playoff bound and we've beat them too. So proud of the Chiefs and what they're doing. But let's dive into everything. I'm your host, Lexi.
Hey y'all, what's up? I am Jody. So we definitely had like a different outline for today, but we have to now start with the Hollywood Brown news since it just came out literally right before we decided to go live. So I mean, okay, if you haven't heard or got the NFL alerts yet or anything of that nature, Hollywood Brown went to Colorado, which we kind of knew was happening because he needed to just get cleared. That's what we've been waiting on this whole entire time, is for him to get cleared. And he was cleared. So it's officially official that Hollywood Brown has been cleared and able to return back to practice. Sorry, I'm reading Ian Rappaport's tweet because I want to just be accurate. But he has received the final clearance to practice, paving the way for him to play in the before the regular season ends. As you guys know, he had the SC joint repair surgery on his little collarbone area. And that happened in week one, and we haven't seen him since then. But it's true. We thought it was like a rumor at first. Like, originally they were like, season ending, he's probably not going to come back this year. Then it was like, well, maybe it's just like a 10 or 12 week thing, and we just kind of got to judge it by that. And all of a sudden, over the last few weeks, we've seen him like running and practicing, like doing his thing, showing like he's healthy. So,
and he was on the sideline last week with Rashee versus the Chargers, which is crazy. Because I don't think Rashee, unfortunately, is not coming back anytime soon. But to see them out there was just great enough. And then to know that Hollywood, because like you said, it was like rumors all week, or like, okay, he's going to be returning back to practice, but nothing actually confirmed.
Right.
And so to get this news like literally 10 minutes ago, right before our show, really, really cool. I'm really excited. I think, you know, with Hollywood Brown, we've gone through so much with injuries this season in our Chiefs team, like in our offense specifically.
Yeah.
It's been a mess. It's been a different roster pretty much every week of like who's active, who's not, who's in, who's out,
right?
Who's coming onto the team? Like,
what
we add? We add Juju, and then he goes out with a hamstring. We add D-Hop, and he's been good, but he's not playing like a load of snaps. He's just, you know,
under 60%.
Yeah, under 60%, which is very specific every week, and that's for, if y'all don't know, that's for the reason of the trade with the Titans. Is it's kind of like he has to play under 60% snaps so that we keep it as a fifth round pick, I believe.
Even though, who cares? If it's a fourth, it's a fourth.
I don't even, yeah. Like, I don't think most of us care, but Veach clearly has like a
secret hidden agenda. Okay.
Yeah. But I think with Hollywood Brown, that is our guy that Mahomes worked with the entire offseason, like in Texas, in training camp, in OTAs, one preseason game, of course.
Yeah.
Didn't get to live much longer after that. But it was interesting to hear Joe Blamire, yeah, our passing coach, speak on it today. And he was like, you know what? Like, Patrick built up such a good rapport with him the entire offseason that when he comes back in, I think it's going to be actually crucial to our offense. And I don't know how many snaps he's going to get per se, but like, I think it's going to be little packages that are built for Hollywood that are going to be really impactful for our offense. And I think they have that trust with each other. So it's just such a weird situation to have someone the entire offseason and then him get eliminated week one of preseason and then no idea. But yeah, now he's coming back.
I do think they are going to. So, like, say he's clear this week, right? They're probably going to open up a 21-day window so he can start practicing, yada, yada. We probably really won't see him until maybe, like, week 17, week 18,
like Christmas,
which I'm also fine with. Like, yeah. I'm also totally fine with that. And I do think that, you know, Andy is going to slowly, like, ramp him up. And he's not going to, like, overdo it for him also. For a few reasons, though. Like, one, yeah, like, let's go ahead and get you back into, like, in-game shape. And getting kind of like what that rhythm is and what that snap count is like and what the rhythm is with like Patrick and the O-line and all of that. But then it's also like we don't want to put too much film out there either, even though there's no film on him because you only had week one, kind of, right? I do think it's a little bit of both. Like, I do think Andy is like, all right, like, don't be surprised if y'all see him for the Broncos game week 18 out there, like, because he may be playing just to, even if it's just the first half, to just get reacclimated back with like the team, yeah,
right,
his rhythm. So I'm super excited for Hollywood, just because, and I know we're going to talk Chiefs here in a minute, but you've seen the offense kind of starting to like find their rhythm in the last few weeks, and adding that piece that was missing, that guy that knows how to separate, adding that additional speed, which is going to give more leverage to like D-Hop, to Hollywood, not Hollywood, but to D-Hop, to Xavier, to Travis. It's going to be super good. So before we get into Chiefs, we always have to start off by talking about around the NFL, because we can, of course, talk Chiefs with y'all all day. And I apologize. I guess we should apologize. It's not Tuesday. It's Thursday. Shout out to y'all for hanging with us today on Thursday. We both had things to do Tuesday and Wednesday, so that's why we get it today. But it's totally fine. We haven't missed the game at all yet.
No,
so,
and just, we're good.
If we went Tuesday, we wouldn't be able to talk about Hollywood Brown today. So honestly, you're welcome, guys.
Right. We get breaking news on Thursday, so I'm not mad about it.
Right. So shout out to y'all. If you're listening on Twitter, please make sure you retweet. If you are listening on YouTube, please make sure you go ahead and hit the like button for us. And let's get the numbers up on this episode. So around the NFL, some great things have been happening. I think the biggest thing is Sunday Night Football. Well, no, we were Sunday night. The 325. The 325 game on Sunday. I'm like, wait, we were Sunday Night Football.
We actually were.
Yeah. The Rams defeat the Bills, which was crazy. I mean, okay, so I'll be honest. I had the Bills winning this week and losing this week, going into week 15, losing week 14. I did not think that they would win both games. But now I'm like, are they going to lose both games? Because I 100% think they're losing to the Bills. So Anyway, no one was expecting the Rams to come in and kind of just take over and win that game. I didn't watch the game, unfortunately, because I was at Arrowhead, but I did watch the last like few minutes of it because they had it on all the TVs inside of the stadium.
Yeah.
We were at Arrowhead. Yeah. So we were sitting there kind of watching like the last 5 minutes, and we were like, can the Rams pull this off?
That was a wild game. So I came later to Arrowhead because I was dog sitting. So I was like, I didn't come till later on, but I was kind of watching as I was getting ready. And then as I was driving to the stadium, I had it on. And that was like an offensive battle. Like it was like neither defense existed.
It kind of
reminded me of when we played the Rams a few years ago, and it was exactly. like 51 to 54 and we lost.
Yeah.
We lost to the Rams. Like
exactly.
But no, I mean, both offenses looked awesome. Josh Allen had 6 total touchdowns, which is crazy. Diabolical. I hate it, but he did. The Rams offense, I freaking love Puka Nacua. He's one of my favorite players in the NFL. He's just funny. Like he's so unserious. If you ever watch his like interviews, like he's so funny, but he's so talented. I'm like, dude. Really? So,
and he came off like an injury as well. So like I know he came off of his injury like a few weeks ago, but
yeah,
see him kind of ramp back up as quickly as he did. I wasn't expecting that at all. And it just
no.
kind of shows like who he is as an athlete because
yeah,
he was balling on Sunday. So
he was.
But no, I'm with you. It was definitely an offensive battle. Both defenses are awful. I can't believe that both defenses let the other team put up
do that
plus points. Like that's wild to me. Like I think both defensive coordinators need to be questioned on what their adjustments and what the heck was happening, because how did it even get to this point of this type of game? But to see the way that they were able to pull it off at the very end, I mean, great. Thank you, Rams. And I think it was very loud and very clear that Chiefs fans were Rams fans last week.
Oh yeah.
And it's so funny because the Rams were like, fans on their fan base were tweeting out afterwards and they were like, you're welcome, Chiefs. And we're like,
yeah. Actually, like low key, Chiefs fans and Rams fans have like a weird little bond because like they beat the Bengals in the Super Bowl. So we loved them for that.
Right.
And then they just did this again last week. And I don't know, you probably heard in Arrowhead, like once the Rams won the game, Arrowhead cheered.
It erupted. It was loud. I was like, oh, like as soon as I walked
in the stadium. Oh, so the Rams won.
Right. As soon as I walked in the stadium, I tweeted out, oh, okay. All the TVs have the Rams in the building.
Mm-hmm.
So we were kind of watching it a little bit like at the tailgate, but like not really. And we were just kind of like, huh, okay, like they're going back and forth. So to see them actually pull out the win, like that was great. Now I will say, because the Bills lost, is that going to give them this new like fire for going into Detroit this week?
No.
But they're going to Detroit. They're not playing in Buffalo. So that is a difference. And to know the Detroit, that stadium is loud and proud and full, and it's not going to be easy. You know what I mean?
No, and what's crazy is the Bills have like a winning record there the past few years. People are loving the bangs, Jody. We got to give a shout out to the new bangs.
I was scared.
We love the bangs.
I was scared, but I did. Thanks, y'all.
If y'all aren't tuning in live, go look at her bangs because they are beautiful. We love them. So yeah, the Bills have won in Detroit the past few times they've played there, which is crazy. So the Bills actually didn't have practice today because there was so much snow. And I actually had actually came on our podcast back a few weeks ago.
They're getting ready to get a ton of snow too. Like well, it's happening overnight as well.
They have like a few feet already.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, no wonder they didn't practice. But I'm like, I don't know how that's going to impact their week.
And
of
the snow from the blizzard they just got, like, never melted. So it's like,
they're still like, yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I don't know.
I mean, we can keep going on the topic. Another great game, which was Monday night, which was, and I say great game. The Simpsons were great. I think it's important to emphasize that. You had
the Bengals interesting game.
Yeah, the Bengals went to Dallas, and of course the Bengals won. I think everybody had the Bengals winning this game just because Dallas is not a good football team this year, and they have a lot of opportunity in coaching and offensive. It's just a whole hot mess all around there, and Ja'Marr Chase went off. Like, the Bengals are done. I think it's smart to say that the Bengals really dropped the ball. They should have paid Ja'Marr Chase in the offseason because that man's bag has went way up during this season.
He's surpassed – I don't know if I want to say overall, but this season right now he's playing better than Justin Jefferson. He's the best.
No, he is. Yeah, I think he's, like, leading in yards, leading in touchdowns.
Leading in everything.
Leading in like three categories right now as a wide receiver. And I still think Justin Jefferson is the better receiver now. And that's nothing against Ja'Marr Chase because I think Ja'Marr Chase is an elite receiver. Yeah. It's just Ja'Marr Chase is the only receiver on that team versus the Vikings. Jordan Addison is having a really good year too. So they have to spread the love there when you think of it that way because Justin Jefferson, like, I know you saw the play with Justin Jefferson when he was wide ass open by himself.
Oh, yeah. He was just like, how am I this open?
I'm like, how do you even do that? Like, what is your secondary doing at all, Falcons? But
nothing.
Nothing at all. But that's why I go to say, like, I think Justin Jefferson, I think they're, it's hard to compare them both because they're both so freaking
they're
good.
They're so good.
I don't know how the Bengals are going to be able to afford him, pay T. Higgins, pay Trey Hendrickson. Like, that's not happening next year.
The Bengals, I feel like this was – they needed to do well this year, and they are not. Now, they still have, like, a sneaky – they have, like, a really sneaky chance of maybe making the playoffs.
They're not going to make it. Like, six teams need to lose two games.
Yeah.
Like, us – the Steelers,
the Broncos,
they're way in. Is I was listening to Carrington on the radio the other day, and he played the Cincinnati radio station, and he played them describing the way that they needed to be in to the playoffs. God. He was like, "Here's the easiest way to explain it. Have you ever sat down with a friend and listened to them tell you how their 15-leg parlay is gonna cash?" And you know it's not going to cash, but you just listen to them because you a good
friend. You just listen anyway.
He was like, that's exactly what the Bengals sound like right now.
Oh, man.
There's no way. Y'all aren't going to make it.
So. I was watching a video earlier, and it was like, this needs to happen, and this needs to happen, and this. Like, it's so many different things. And what's crazy is they are one of the top quarterback wide receiver duos this year, if not the best in the league, which, like, but – the other odd thing is, like, Joe Burrow, he's only led one game-winning drive. And if you even watch the Cowboys game, he led a game-winning drive, but it was only off of the muffed punt weird thing that happened on special teams that led them to really good field position. And then he won the game off that. But, like,
because they should have lost too.
Yeah, they had a really good chance of losing, which is crazy. So the Bengals, they're just a weird team, but Ja'Marr Chase, he is freaking inevitable. My gosh. Like, so.
And I don't understand it with the Bengals either because they're scoring like 28 plus points a game and they're losing. Like, I don't know what I would do as a Chiefs fan if we were scoring 28, 30 plus points a game and not winning games. Like, that would probably drive me a little insane.
No, for real. And we despise Bengals fans. Like, we're like known to do that, right? But, like, I feel for them a little bit. Like,
you got a healthy Joe Burrow and a healthy Ja'Marr Chase and a healthy T. Higgins.
And they're having a great year. Even Chase Brown, the running back, is pretty good.
And your defense is awful. And your defense cannot save a game.
The one thing I have to say to that is, like, we've had this with Patrick Mahomes where he is scoring 40 points a game consistently. Yeah. And our defense wasn't great, but. And that might have to do with coaching, too, with Andy Reid being a fantastic coach and all of that.
Being a great coach.
But he was able to, a lot of times, lead those game-winning drives. And this is, like, back in 2018, 2019, you know, when our defense wasn't as strong. But Mahomes, we were still able to get those wins. Like, we were still 12-5. We were still 13-4, whatever. So the fact that they're – I don't know.
But they've been what's so weird to me is like they've been so good with Zach Taylor and Lou Anarumo in the past.
Which I've
seen it.
The defense is probably the worst that I've ever seen it.
Yeah.
And last year they definitely had opportunity on defense too. Which and I guess everybody's defense regressed this year. Like I don't think there's one defense that was nearly this as good as it was last season. But it's like they like didn't show up to training camp. Like it's like y'all took the whole summer off and didn't do a single thing. So I don't know what they have to do there, but the first thing they need to do is not only sign Ja'Marr Chase, but they have to go attack that defense. If they don't attack that defense and they have another season next year like they did this year, then they're cooked. Like
I think it's gonna be Ja'Marr or T. I don't think they both get paid.
Oh yeah. No. And I honestly, my hot take is they end up paying T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase goes somewhere else and gets a bag.
Because they're like, so cheap.
The Raiders have so much money right now.
The Patriots, I mean, a lot of teams have money. The Patriots have money. The Commanders have money.
Everybody, because they're not paying their quarterback. So it's like, he could literally be like, you know, I love you, Joe Burrow, because we went to LSU together, but I'm really going to go get this bag. So.
Yeah, well. The Bengals are notorious for being cheap, so
absolutely.
I don't know. We'll see.
So next, the only thing we could really talk about is Bryce Young has been hot. I don't know what is going on. Pre-Chiefs game, I mean, they won those two games before we played them. He played a great game against us. They lost. They lost the following week, and
That went to overtime.
Yeah. So I mean, I think like the only great
thing that the Eagles.
Which they should have beat the Eagles because the Eagles. And you know, I will say this too. Doesn't it make our game not look as bad now? Like I'm like, our game does not look as bad now. Thank you, people who were talking about us.
Thank you.
But Bryce Young, super proud of him. Very proud of all of those rookies and what's happening over there because they're definitely like finding their stride and finding their rhythm. And if they have a really good off season and do really good in the draft again this year, they might be able to. You know, they can maybe contend for their division because their division is not.
I think so.
So
absolutely, I think so. I think it's just been fun to watch them. Like the Panthers were a get right game for so long.
Yeah.
And so I think it's fun to see a team like that actually make some moves and just be more confident. I feel like they have a lot of good players. And
yeah,
we talked about this with Sheena on our show a few weeks ago is like, we were like, it's not going to be a get right game. It's going to be a close game and people aren't going to want to accept that. But we said that from the get-go and we were right. And then it's been that way ever since.
The Chiefs haven't covered the spread in 7 weeks, y'all. Seven weeks. That's so many weeks. Don't be surprised, guys.
Don't bet on the Chiefs. Bet on us to win, but don't bet us to cover.
Yeah, take the money line or the plus. Don't take the favorite. Don't ever take that. Moving on in the AFC West, the Broncos went ahead and re-signed their left tackle, Gary Bowles, to a four-year deal, which he's been pretty good this season, too. And Bo Nix has looked really good this year, too. They're definitely building over there in Denver, and I do think that they're maybe 1 or 2 years away, but I wouldn't be surprised by what we see from Denver over next season because they've had some pretty good games this year, and Who knows? I mean, they pulled out more wins this year than I thought they were. You already spoke about, like, the AFC West being way better than everybody thought that it was going to be except the Raiders, which, the AFC West wants to be competitive. Mm-hmm. Don't be competitive.
Yeah, I don't like it here, but whatever.
And then the only other news that happened in Chiefs is we went ahead and brought Steven Nelson back, which –
I don't know how I feel about it.
So, for me, I'm just kind of like, am I surprised? No.
Right.
I never thought Kareem Hunt was coming back. So,
no.
To see him come back, especially knowing the way that he left, it was not good. Okay. I don't remember as a Chiefs fan. I think what people need to realize, though, and we can go ahead and start talking about the recap from last week with Chiefs and Chargers at Arrowhead. We could just do this all at the same exact time. But I think what people need to realize is he's not coming in and saving, like, the day, y'all. Like, he's going to – he's dead. and he's coming out of retirement.
Yeah.
So kind of like what we did with DJ Humphries. Like,
yeah,
he's deaf. He's better than what we have. And for me, it's just more so like, all right, you're a veteran. You got experience. Your last couple of years were really good when you were with the Texans and when you were with the
Steelers before that. And then
Steelers, Texans.
The Eagles, I think, even.
I can't think that far back. But
he was Texans, Steelers, Eagles, Chiefs. I don't know, something like that.
He was better when he after he left Kansas City, which makes sense. I mean, if you look at who our coordinator was.
Well, yeah. We didn't have Spags back then, so.
Not at all. So, I mean, if he can come back, do whatever the minimal role is that he needs to do, bring a little bit of a veteran presence, and I'm sure, like, Andy and Spags and all of them have talked to him, like, yo, like, what is your tune with Kansas City before you get back here and we even reconsider?
Yeah.
So.
I'm sure. It's just, yeah, it's interesting because he didn't go out on the best note. He wasn't. He was not fantastic by any means when he was here, but he did get better as he left and went to different schemes and stuff.
Which makes sense.
So yeah, and on the Texans last season, he was rated better than a lot of our cornerbacks were, which is crazy because we had a really good corner room last season.
Yeah.
But
he had how many picks last year? Like nine?
4 or 5?
Yeah. I don't know.
I think it was like 4 or 5.
Am I picking up 9? I'm definitely making 9 up.
Yeah. I don't think it was that much.
Maybe that was his last 2 seasons.
It could be like combined, but which
yeah,
is,
I'm like, maybe that was his last 2 seasons.
But that's anyway, like still more than we had, probably.
Yeah. So I'll take that because you know that this team is not necessarily a turnover team. They're not necessarily a team that goes out and gets picks. They just create
turnovers.
So, I mean, to understand how Steve Spagnuolo works and how his brain is, to know is to just know. But anyway, let's talk about Chiefs Chargers. It was 17-19. And I think the game was exactly the way that everybody thought that it was going to go. It went exactly the way everybody predicted it to go. Now, when I think about the positives of the game, so I was very happy with Patrick Mahomes in this game. I think that he's actually been good the last couple of weeks. I know a lot of people don't agree to that. I think Patrick Mahomes has been pretty good. I think Travis Kelce has been good. I think Xavier Worthy has stepped up and he's been good. And you could kind of see him like stepping into that Rashi Rice role now versus what it was earlier in the season. But I think that takes just time to develop. And
I think just getting used to the scheme. And, you know, like we said earlier, it's like there's been so much adjustment. We don't have Rashi because he went out week 4 early. We don't have Hollywood for any of this.
Yeah,
that's what we practiced all offseason. So Worthy was going to have these two guys by his side leading the way.
And mentors, people he could lean on.
He's had to be wide receiver basically 1-ish. You know?
I mean, behind Travis, of course. And I mean, Travis is doing everything that he can. And it's kind of sucks because you see him a lot being like that chip help and being an extra blocker. You're seeing that a lot right now, but it's needed when you look at our left and right side of our line. It's like, well, we need that, which kind of lets you just remember that you missed some of those key pieces that we had last season that were those chip blockers and out there blocking and getting in the way and really protecting Patrick and giving that extra protection. But we don't have a lot of guys on our team right now that can do it. Now, Samaje Perine has stepped up big.
Spectacular
over these last couple of weeks, which is great.
He's like one of my favorite, like he's gone so low-key, but like he's been one of my favorite little additions we've made because he is clutch on third down. He's been clutch with Travis with the laterals. He's been clutch and blocking, kind of like that Jet McKinnon type role that we've made.
He had a huge block this past week and I was just like and I think Nate Taylor tweeted out, he was like, Jerick McKinnon would be proud. And I was like, yes, he would. Like, that was exactly what Jerick McKinnon would do in that situation.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate Perine and everything that he's, like, bringing. Now, DeAndre Hopkins had another drop this week, which is very uncharacteristic of him. But I want to say to all the people who were yelling at D-Hop for not catching that, if you go back and actually watch the game.
God dang.
Down, first of all, it was helmet to helmet. Hey. Like, the dude's helmet hit him in the head. And, like, he had to go up, and then he was trying to catch it like this. Like, I get, like, DeAndre.
He was blasted. Exactly. He was blasted.
I get that he's elite, but that is a hard freaking catch to make. And the only person who would probably make it is like Justin Jefferson. Like, that's where I'm at. Maybe Ja'Marr Chase. You know what I mean? So
right.
I'm always
he really almost had it. Like, I actually thought he did catch it till I watched the replay and I was like, oh shit.
It should have been a DPI. So it should have been a pass interference, and it wasn't.
Because we got called for a very similar.
Absolutely.
Anyway, but.
That happens every week. We always get called for something, and then the other team does it, and it usually happens either right before or right after. So I won't be mad at D-Hop for that, because he has been a huge addition to this team in the way
He's still fantastic. Yeah. It's absolutely. It's just one of those hits. It's one of those good football plays, and there was no chance he could have hung on to that. Like,
no. Which, and it's okay. And if he would have, it would have been like
a miracle.
Fourth center, number one.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm like, yeah. Noah Gray still continues to show why he got paid in the offseason. Well, I say the offseason, but literally the day.
Right. Week one. Yeah.
Show why he has gotten paid and why it's worth it. And I was actually just having a conversation with someone earlier this week about Noah Gray. And I was like, you know, it's taken him about 4 or 5 years to kind of finally like develop into this role player that he is behind Travis Kelce. And I'm super like appreciative for that, because all that shows me is, you know, whenever Travis decides that he wants to retire, I know that I can fully trust on, and I can lean in Noah Gray and feel confident. Because a lot of his mannerisms are pretty almost identical to Travis Kelce. So I love like the relationship partnership that they have, because he has really grown to be like this outstanding elite tight end because of Travis Kelce mentoring him for the last 4 or 5 years. So I really love what Noah Gray has turned into for us this season. And I mean, we've seen it year over year, like especially last year.
I think there was a ton of potential for it last season. We just didn't see it quite as much for whatever reason. But yeah, I completely agree. I think all the confidence is there for whenever Travis does retire. I'm not going to worry about that position, because now you can see that Mahomes has built up that rapport with him. And he does have kind of some of those same like Travis Kelce-ish mannerisms where he'll find those open gaps and he knows
the move. If Patrick scrambles, he knows the scramble.
Once
the receivers realize, if you see Patrick running, you run with him.
I feel like that was what was so exciting for me with Xavier Worthy this week, was on that final drive of the game where we had to get down the field, and Worthy was like, okay, the ball should be here at this point. Where's Patrick? And then he looks back and he's like, oh shit, Patrick's under pressure. Let me get open. And he did. And he got open and made a perfect third down catch. So
and I think like they can practice that all day long, but when you're in game, that's really when that chemistry gets there. Like, they can practice it till they're blue in the face, but being able to know like, okay, let me make this adjustment, because I can imagine how hard it is being like, okay, I gotta run my route correctly, and then being like, oh shoot, don't run my route, like Patrick is off the script, so I got to be off the script. Like, it's hard for me to change up in that way. So I could definitely see how a receiver who's been practicing that week after week could be struggling with doing something like that.
Well, I think that was the thing, like, with Worthy, too, is, like, he's just so used to just running downfield and being open and, like, hey, throw it to me. That's not how Patrick operates. Like, it's like, no, you gotta stay open the whole play. You gotta let the whole play finish out, and like wherever you are, you need to make sure Patrick can see you, that you're open and can catch the ball. So.
Absolutely. I mean, especially because our offensive line is not really helping him. So I mean, of course, we're gonna talk about the elephant in the room, which is the offensive line. And you know, originally it's like, oh my God, the left tackle, but it's like, no, the left tackle, the guards, sometimes the center, sometimes the right tackle. It's kind of a group effort at this point. Like, everybody not great right now. They're not on their game. Now, I personally, like, when I was watching the first quarter, I was like, okay, DJ Humphries looks serviceable. I'm happy with what I'm seeing. I'm happy with it.
For like a week in our offense, you know, like
I'm not angry at any of this at all. Patrick isn't getting hit as much. He was getting hit, and it was coming from the right side of the line, not the left. I was like, okay, Juwan Taylor. Anyway, so I mean, there's definitely just some opportunity on the offensive line. I think we're kind of at the point where everybody kind of has to just be better. Like, and they're all.
Yeah.
A conversation that I was having this week was, I don't understand why our defensive line cannot get pressure and our offensive line cannot protect Patrick when it's the same guys from last season.
Right.
That I don't understand. So I'm like, I don't know what happened to where. I know that Andy and Spags have not changed up their game plan or their scheme that much. So I don't understand why the guys are not getting pressure or they're not protecting Patrick when they're the same exact guys.
Right.
And they go in and out of training camp together. They go out of in and out of camp together. And maybe it is because they had a week six bye and they're tired.
Honestly, I think that's a little bit of it. I do think I loved what I saw from our D-line this week. I think they looked a lot better.
They did look better. Yes. They looked better. They didn't look fantastic.
They didn't look better than right. They didn't look fantastic. Yeah. They didn't look complete, but they looked a lot better. They were getting pressure. They were getting to the quarterback. Tershawn Wharton, he stepped it up. I think because Chris Jones is taking all the blocks. So
Tershawn Wharton was really good at the beginning of the season too. We yelled his name a lot the first few games.
And I think with Charles Omenihu coming back, I think that's helping it. So I think over the next few weeks, we're going to see a lot more defensive pressure. I don't know how it's going to look versus Jameis Winston this next week. Jameis is kind of – he's not fast, but he's shifty. He's kind of like a Joe Burrow in the pocket where, like, he can kind of escape some stuff.
He can definitely escape.
He's not going to, like, outrun but.
And he gets rid of the ball quick.
Yeah.
He's going to tear our secondary.
He's going to tear it out.
Yeah, our secondary might be
this
week. Yeah. And the thing is, like, don't be surprised if Jameis throws for, like, 300-plus yards this week. Like,
he threw for almost 500 yards on the Broncos defense. Exactly. The Broncos.
Exactly. I'm like, exactly. I said 300. I said 300 to be nice.
Yeah.
Like I said, 300 to be done. But no, I agree. Tershawn Wharton was really good this week. And I wish he could stay consistent. Because the beginning of the season, he was really hot. And then he got kind of cold for a few weeks. And now you've started to see him kind of get back into his rhythm like last week and the week prior. So I hope that he can like stay on this upward tick that he's on right now. Nick Bolton, I need people to just stop disrespecting him. Because it shows every single week how good he is on this defense. I mean, the Chris Jones, he's being attacked by two and three people, which means that one man is open. Somebody is open, and they should be able to get to the quarterback, and it's still not happening. I kind of laugh at everybody asking where the heck George Karloftis is, because no, really, where are you, George? Because you should be the one getting the
sack. What's crazy, though, is the amount of pressure he's getting. He's not finishing it. But you know what's crazy is I saw a stat throughout the last 14 weeks, he's actually above TJ Watt in pressures.
Yeah, but he's still not getting to the quarterback.
No, I mean, I was like, that's actually better than I expected, I guess.
But he's not getting as much pressure as, I mean, he's not as covered as Chris Jones, the person to the left end.
No, he's not.
And so that's kind of like where my mind goes. Like, say you have two or three guys on you, you're going to expect me to go finish the job. Like, all right, Jody, like, I'm over here taking all the heat.
Yeah.
If I'm taking all the heat, you need to be able to go finish.
You got to.
And I'm like, you're right. I should be. Because I'm probably one-on-one.
Instead, it's Tershawn Wharton that's doing that.
Exactly. FAU.
I don't understand. What happened to George? He had such a good year last year. He was really good as rookies. Like, I don't know. It's like a little bit of regression, and maybe he'll get through it, hopefully, in the next few weeks.
Maybe it's a Willie Gay effect. Willie Gay being on.
Yeah.
I think I'm also, and I think a lot of Chiefs fans are annoyed by this, but like, where the hell is Josh Uche at? Why did he have one snap last week?
He was
a healthy scratch for what?
I don't understand. I actually don't know. Like they were so excited to bring him on. I was so excited. I think many of us were. We've seen what he can do.
We watched this film.
Is he not learning the scheme?
It has to be that.
I cannot think of anything else it would be. But it's really frustrating.
In my mind, it's like, well, maybe he's not learning the playbook. But then it's also like, but you brought him in here for like third down and third and long. He's a speed edge rusher. You should be able to just stick him on the edge and let him do his thing. No? That's why I'm confused, because it's not like he didn't play football this season. He literally just played. He was just playing for the Patriots like the week before.
And he was good. And so I'm like, I'm not understanding.
For the playoffs?
At this point, I don't know. I better see, at this point, we better see a hell of a lot in the playoffs, because at this point I'm like, are we saving everything for the playoffs, or like what?
It feels like that. It feels like there's a whole nother team. It feels like there's a whole nother team just kind of like hidden and whatnot. Who was your player of the game for this week? Because I don't even want to talk about the secondary, because that third quarter was so bad. The amount of third and longs that they could not freaking stop was driving me nuts. I was like, what? There's no way they're converting third and seven, third and eight, third and ten. Like,
that
there's
was no bad.
Way. Like, and we was, didn't score in the third quarter. I was like, y'all are very unserious. Like, what are we doing?
We're the most, like, frustrating third quarter team this year, I think.
Yeah.
We do not – if you've noticed, like, it's a pattern throughout the past however many weeks, we don't do anything in the third quarter, offensively or defensively. We hold their entire offense to 0 points in the entire first half. 0 points. Yeah. Nothing. Our defense looked phenomenal. I was so happy we were getting pressure. Secondary was holding up.
Yep.
They come out, readjust, and we look like we're lost and like we've just given up at halftime. I don't know.
The third quarter was really bad this week.
It was atrocious. Like, we didn't do anything on either side of the ball.
No.
So that's super frustrating. Matt Nagy was saying in his press conference today, he's like, we have to be a good team in all four quarters. Yeah. Like, and I'm like, okay, that's great. Let's see it. Let's see it on the field, because
we're 15. Like, we
So I don't know if they changed that versus the Browns. I don't know. But I will say, I'm going to give my player of the game to Trent McDuffie, because he had a phenomenal game. He really did. He was, let's see, he allowed in single coverage, he allowed 4 receiving yards, 2 forced incompletions, and a 39 passer rating for Justin Herbert. So Trent McDuffie had himself a game. It was the rest of the defense that kind of let him down in this game. He was not my concern. He did not allow any like explosive plays. But, you know, we have Chimari Connor in a position he doesn't need to be in. We have.
Exactly. If the guys played where they should play, then, like, if Najee actually played as a safety, and
as safety.
If Chimari actually play as a corner, and, like.
And then we have, you know, Trent, he's the best slot corner in the NFL, but we have to rotate him because we don't have a consistent. And Joshua Williams, he's good, but he's like a roller coaster, because he can be really good, but then he like does penalties, and it's not.
He's better in coverage. Joshua is better in coverage.
He's good in coverage. Yeah.
Yes.
So I think if they can just find a freaking cohesion between themselves, that'd be amazing.
It would be nice. My player of the game this week. I'm not really sure. The offense, the reason why it was very interesting is because they actually spread the ball out very well. So I was like, okay, I kind of love to see that. Like, everybody got touches in the offense. So it's hard to necessarily pick, like, one person who, like, went off. If I just had to say, it would probably be, like, Tershawn Wharton, just because he really showed, like, who he was and the way that he was really just disruptive in the way this week, which he was. I mean, he was all over the field. You kept hearing his name. And if it wasn't him, I would say Nick Bolton. But I'm going to go with Tershawn Wharton, just because I feel like he has been probably a little more consistent than Nick Bolton. But I'm just hoping that he continues to keep that up and it elevates as we go get ready for this playoff run.
So I think one more thing I just want to add to it is just, I'm really proud of Pacheco and what we've seen with him and his comeback. Yeah. So far. But we can't keep going away from the run. Like, he is,
or just literally run the ball.
He like, and Kareem are doing a great job together. Like, can we
I don't know what Andy Reid is doing. I think we only ran the ball twice in the third quarter.
We don't. Yeah. It's like, I don't get it.
Like, if your first 15 scripted plays, you run the ball 8 times. Why are we not doing that in the third quarter? Like, why? And I get that you have to make adjustments from the first quarter to the third quarter, but your third quarter should probably be similar to how you started.
This is where, again, I just feel like he's saving people. I feel like he's.
I do think guys are tired. Yeah, I do think guys are tired. You're not wrong.
I hope I'm not crazy when I come playoffs and like this is all true.
I think dudes are tired. I mean, and especially because it's about to get worse. 3 games in 10 days, 21st, 25th in the.
See, 21st. I do. I feel like it's a little bit of a strategy.
I think so too. And we can kind of talk about that now as we like get into the Browns game. Mm-hmm. I don't really know if I have like a lot to say about this Browns game. I think like my major concerns is like they still haven't necessarily like, I know DJ Humphries did not practice again today. Which means Y.A. Morris is probably going to be our starting left tackle. But then it's like, well, who's his backup if he gets hurt? Like, does DJ Humphries suit up still?
That's what I'm wondering.
Because Myles Garrett's going to have a field day.
Yeah. So, okay. So my thing with Y.A. is he looked really good at the end of last game when DJ went out and Y.A. had to come in. Y.A. actually looked really good. I think that has to do with a little bit of like losing your job, probably being humbled a little bit. And rest, he was very fresh on the sideline. Like it was towards the end of the game. So the Chargers defense is gassed and he's like fresh and ready to go. Right. So that probably has a little bit to do with it. Myles Garrett is going to be a problem. Like there's no getting around that. He just is.
Yep.
I think the backup plan is like if Wanye just gets smoked. I think then you see Joe Tooney move to left tackle, and then you see Mike Caliendo go in at left guard.
Horrible.
And Joe Tooney did that the other day. He's too small to be a left tackle.
That's not a great answer. And Joe Tooney is a guard. He's not a freaking tackle anymore. Like
no, he's meant to be a guard. He's really freaking.
That is what he has been doing for year after year after year, and that is what he's expecting. So to make him go out there and have to like have that type of protection over Patrick, which I'm sure Patrick's like, okay, but he's that doesn't mean that like he
shakes his head and like it's like whatever. Like
I think that's Wanye just needs to be able to last this whole entire game, and then we can have DJ Humphries the following game.
And I just need you to not
think he'll be back.
Oh yeah, I think DJ will be back in a week or two
because DJ Humphries technically wasn't supposed to play until this week anyway. But they brought him in last week because y'all saw the game before that. So we ain't got to talk about that. So they definitely rushed him in and brought him back super quick. But the amount Patrick is taking, I believe the stats said like 24 sacks in the last like 7 games. And he's the most hit quarterback in the NFL. Like that is amazing.
Aside from like Caleb Williams and Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes is like the most,
That's a major problem, especially going into the playoffs this late in the season and you don't have a bye week to lean on until maybe you get the 1 seed. So the whole entire offensive line, they have to be better. It's more than just the left or the right side, the left or the right tackle. Everybody has to be able to do their part. And Andy Reid needs to – I know that he likes to leave those guys on islands. Like, he likes to leave your tackles on islands. He does not give them chip help a lot. And he might need to just, like – and I get it because our receivers are also kind of struggling to get open. Like, but you noticed last week that when they were playing the quick game and Patrick was just kind of getting the ball out super fast, that they kind of started creating a rhythm and you could see like their flow starting to happen versus when he was having those 6, 7, 8 drop back steps. Like when he's holding onto the ball that long, your line is not going to hold up and your receivers aren't spreading out and getting open as quickly as you think that they should. So, I mean, there's a lot happening there that needs to be better. And I think they're going to figure it out. Like, I keep saying that every week, but.
No, and I really do. And I think it's just part of this offense being different basically every single week. I think D-Hop's finally finding his groove. I think Juju, you know, he was fantastic right when he got back, and then he was injured, so now he's finding his groove again. I think Worthy's finally building up that chemistry that we need. Justin Watson, he's very up and down. He went cold last week. I don't know what happened to him.
I don't know what's wrong.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's very up and down with him. It's just not a lot of consistency. But then I also heard, like, Joseph Blamire said today in his press conference, he's like, D-Hop has a whole bag of tricks we haven't even opened yet.
Yeah, which is so very true.
Genuinely, they are saying to us, without saying it, that they are saving stuff for later on. So it's like, I do think that. I do think that once these guys get just comfortable all together, I think within the next few weeks, I think we're going to start seeing that a lot. God, knock on wood, everyone stay healthy.
Please.
You know, and I think they will find that rhythm. And I think we will see it all come together like we've dreamt of the entire season. So,
and I do think, like, we're not going to have the D-Hop under 60% of the snaps.
I think once we get in the
playoffs, we're going to be like, all right, whatever. Every snap, get out there. We want you out there every single
play. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know what? I'm fine with that. Sign me up for that. So, what do you – so, for the Browns game, of course, like, we spoke about, like, their defensive line against our offensive line. We spoke about Jameis Winston probably throwing for 400-plus yards. And our secondary is going to have to tighten up and not let them just – it's supposed to be, like, 40 degrees and rainy.
It's, like, 85% chance of rain. So.
Yeah, so hopefully that means that we're going to run the ball, Andy, because it's going to rain. And so you should maybe run the ball.
Plus, like, Kareem going back to Cleveland. Like,
that's what I said. I was like, maybe revenge game.
Yeah, come on.
Maybe.
But dial up a little thing for him.
Yeah, he needs to score this week. I'm like, he needs a touchdown. What are your, like, three keys to winning for this week?
I think running the ball is a huge one.
Yes.
I really, really want to see our secondary create some turnovers. I think this is the offense to do that against. I think they will get off their explosive plays against you, but I think the key is turning Jameis Winston over.
He's going to throw he should throw two interceptions. Are you going to get the ball?
I hope to see, like, Jaden Hicks. He's been more involved these last few weeks. He can be a ball hawk. I hope to see him get a pick on Jameis Winston. And then someone else, maybe Nick Bolton. Nick Bolton's been really close these past few weeks. He's, like, right there.
I don't want to ever see that again. I don't want to ever see Drew Tranquil that far deep in coverage ever
again. No, we don't need that. So.
Don't. No.
Yeah. And then, hell, just getting people into the end zone and not so many field goals. Because I think with the rain and the wind, getting into the end zone is going to be crucial. And I don't think so. Harrison Butker, that's something we didn't touch on. He is practicing, but I don't think it's going to be like a week or two till we see him, probably.
Same. I don't think we're going to see him yet. And I'm okay with that. I mean, Matthew Wright has been fine. I mean, he was the AFC player of the week this week.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if he's, like, doing whatever is working, shout out to him. Shout out to Justin Reed, because no one thought he was going to be on kickoff return. I was at my seat, and I was like, is that Justin Reed?
Justin Reed, yeah.
I was like, it's day 20, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
Day 20.
No, I literally had the same thought, and then I saw your tweet. I was like, yep, that's Justin Reed.
I was like, all right then. Well, and so then I thought, like, maybe it was like a joke, and then he went back out there, and I was like, huh, we're doing it again. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay, Justin. I think my three keys to winning this week are Patrick cannot hit the ground. You have to keep Patrick off the ground.
Yeah.
Protect your freaking quarterback. Please. Protect your quarterback. I think the defense has to create turnovers, whether it's the defensive line or the secondary. And I think that they need to play like a smooth game for 60 minutes. Like, you can't have one half of good football and then a second half of terrible football. And then in the last 5 minutes, you're like, okay, let's go win the game. Like, no, you need to really be consistent.
Like, they're so annoying.
Yeah. Like, I'm kind of at the point, like, do I just turn the game on in the fourth quarter? Because what are we doing at this point? Because that's when
first quarter and fourth quarter. Like,
you had a 13-point lead. You blew it. You didn't score any points in the third quarter. In the fourth quarter, you almost lost the game. You get a field goal range.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what to say about this team, but just consistent football for 60 minutes. Turn the freaking ball over defense, whether it's the defensive line or the offensive – I mean, the defensive line or the secondary, and the offensive line needs to tighten up. I expect a lot from them this week. I do not want to see Patrick Mahomes on the ground against Myles Garrett. I do not want to see Myles Garrett eat Patrick Mahomes alive, please.
I know.
You have to contain him.
I feel like they have to be they have to be so focused on that. Like, I don't know how you're not. So that's, like, really all you have to do. If you do that, the rest of our game should be fine.
Like, you have to.
You have to be tightened up on the O-line. Like, you have to protect your quarterback.
You have to. Like, Patrick cannot die at week 15 and we're the one seed.
No, no, no.
Well.
And we have more good D-lines to go up against the next 2 weeks also. So.
Absolutely. So we kind of spoke about it. I know that there are a lot of great games that are getting ready to happen here in week 15. So we can kind of talk about that. But the Chiefs have 3 games in 10 days coming up very soon.
Yeah, it's not great.
They have this game on Sunday and then they play next Wednesday. Yeah, they have this game. I'm like, it's Christmas Wednesday.
No. This game Sunday, then they play Saturday, and then they play Wednesday.
And then they play Wednesday. God bless. My days are like,
push. I know.
So they do have a little bit, even though, yes, it is like a short week, I will say having the noon game on Sunday is very helpful since they do play next Saturday. So I'm glad that they play at noon and not like 7. So I'll take that because that gives them time to travel and get back home.
Right. But
based off of kind of like what we were talking about, I don't necessarily know if the Chiefs are like holding plays or saving players, but I 100% think that like Josh Uche, Harrison Butker, I think some of those guys, DJ Humphries, are being held for like that either Texans or Steelers game. And I think that they're going to try to run with the guys that they got right now and then let those guys kind of get some fresh legs. And another conversation that I was having this week is we're not the only team playing 3 games in 10 days. Like, it's us, it's the Steelers, it's the Texans,
it's all of them. Ravens.
I think everyone, we're all doing that in this like small little stretch.
Everyone that plays on Christmas, they had to make it. I remember like listening to the schedule makers talk on a podcast in the off season, and they were like, we had to make it 4 teams that were all going to play each other this season. Mm-hmm. So Texans, Ravens, Steelers, Chiefs all play each other. All four,
and they're on Hard Knocks.
Yeah,
we bring in the money.
It just all worked out, right? Yeah.
I'm not surprised that us 4 teams.
However, they all had later bye weeks. So, like the Ravens just had a bye week. Texans had one 2 weeks ago. Steelers had one a few weeks ago. We had one week 6.
Week 6, great. Now, I will say, like, here's one thing that I want people to kind of pay attention to because I think this is going to be the biggest difference maker for all of these teams who have played 4 games in 10 days. The biggest difference maker is going to be coaching. Andy Reid and Mike Tomlin are going to know how to handle 3 games in 10 days.
They absolutely do.
Can D'Amico Murray figure that out? Can John Harbaugh?
D'Amico Ryans.
I called him the running back. Right. Can D'Amico Ryan? No. Yes.
D'Amico Ryans, right?
Yes.
Hold on.
Right. I'm like, wait, no. Yes.
D'Amico.
I think it's going to come down to coaching. And D'Amico. I think that Andy Reid and Mike Tomlin are going to be able to do something spectacular with those 3 games in those 10 days. And I don't know if D'Amico has that experience yet to see how the Texans are going to be able to go. Like, the Texans might go 1-2 in that stretch.
They really might.
So it's like, and I think it truly
have the Ravens and us. And
Steelers, right? Or the Browns.
Hold on.
It's going to come down to coaching. You're going to really see what, like, the Andy Reids and the Mike Tomlins are going to do, especially when it comes down the stretch and how they navigate the game. And even, like, further than that, how do you prepare your team for 3 games in 10 days? you're not practicing as much. If you're going on the road, you have to travel and you have to consider that. And you have to figure out what your game plan looks like for this week and next, this week, the same week, right? Like two games mm-hmm. this week, you have to prepare for that. So coaching is going to matter so much over this yeah. next few games. And that's what makes me most excited to watch all these games, because I really want to see how Andy Reid and Mike Tomlin and them pull
right.
You're going to see the difference.
That's what's interesting is actually how this broke down, is because we all play each other. So it is the Chiefs and the Texans playing next Saturday. Mm-hmm. I think we're the noon game.
Yeah.
And then it's actually the Steelers and the Ravens that play on yeah. Saturday. And then we all go and play the other team on Christmas.
Wednesday.
So Steelers, Ravens, Texans. So that's how that all works out. But yeah.
Which, okay, fine. Right. But I'm excited to see how they kind of handle this. Who's the Ravens? Who has the home games?
The Ravens.
So we have the Texans home game, and then we go on the road to the Steelers.
We go on the road, and then Steelers go on the road to the Ravens, and then they play us at home. And then the Texans play us away, and then they play the Ravens at home. So it's kind of all even.
Everybody has two home games?
Everyone has one home, one away.
But it's three games.
Four games.
3 games in 10 days is what I mean.
Texans have two of those home. They play the Dolphins at home this weekend. Then they come to us, and then they have Christmas Day there. We're away 2 weekends, so we have Browns away, Texans at home.
Yeah, I'm like, I know we travel.
Steelers away.
Yeah.
Then we have Steelers are away, then home against us. And then Ravens, because the Steelers are in Eagles territory this weekend, so that sucks for them.
Yeah, because I think the Steelers are going to win this week. I guess we can get into that.
Ravens have away, home, away. So it's pretty even between all of us.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm not too upset about that, because I was wondering, I'm like, does somebody have an advantage and they have like more home games?
I'd say the only disadvantage is how early our bye week was. So
literally, that's the only difference I would take away from that. So I think the NFL just needs to do a better job, and they need to make sure that they don't do this to all of their players next season, because it's very unfair. Maybe do it to the NFC and not the AFC, because not cool. Not cool at all. Not a fan of that. But let's go ahead and get into the Week 15 slate. It's that time of year where you're either in or you're out. You're in or out. You're a good team or you suck. That's kind of where we're at now. And there's a lot of really good games this week. And in the AFC, if you're not paying attention, there's like a 3-way race right now for the 7th seed. And that's between the Colts, the Broncos, and the Bengals?
/Dolphins.
Dolphins, not the Bengals. I'm sorry.
More so the Dolphins.
Yeah. Well, because it's the Dolphins, the Colts, and the Broncos. Those are the three teams right now fighting for the 7th. And the Bengals are right under them. They need the Colts and the Broncos to lose. It's a lot.
The Dolphins have 6 wins. The Bengals have 5. So technically, yeah.
Right. But the Bengals are probably going to lose this week. And I think the Bengals will be eliminated this week.
We'll see.
Who do they play?
They play the Titans, so they could win, but I don't know.
Interesting. All right. Well, Thursday Night Football, which is today.
It's happening right now.
Oh, God, it's on right now. Oh, mm-hmm. God, football's on. I do not have football on my TV. What am I doing?
Oh, look,
it's Thursday, and it's on Prime. I really wish they would stop doing that. Thursday Night Football is Rams-Niners in the Bay. Who do you think wins this game tonight?
I think
our game is definitely on right now, and I have not been paying attention.
Yeah, and apparently it's really windy. Right now it's 3-0 San Francisco. I think the Rams are going to win.
I do, too. I think the Rams are going to win.
I don't know.
I definitely think the Rams win. They're a healthier team. Sean McVay over the Niners head coach. I can't think. Kyle Shanahan.
I'm thinking Sean McVay
over him. And then again, like the Rams are healthier.
The Rams are 7-6. The Niners are 6-7.
Are they in the same division?
Oh yeah.
So and they're fighting to figure out who wins that division, and I think the Rams are leading it right now.
The Seahawks are
winning that division right now. So
yeah,
they're all.
The Seahawks are 8-5. The Rams are 7-6,
which is why they need to win today, and I think they will.
Yeah.
Okay, Amazon Prime, please. anyway, I'm like about to throw my remote. Looking at y'all. And then okay, we can get to Sunday. So at noon, you have Dolphins at Texans, which actually is probably going to be a pretty good game. They are in Houston for this week. Did you see? Okay, so apparently, of course, the Dolphins had like a press conference. And you know, Joe Burrow's house was burglarized on Monday night, which is insane.
Yes. Yes, yes.
And so they were talking about Tua's press conference because he was like, I mean, feel free to break in my house. We have guns. So
I didn't know he said that.
I was just like, if you're breaking my house, you're on my property, I'm shooting you. And I love that was his answer because the amount of organized crime that's happening right now for NFL players is insane. And I hate that they're doing that because it's very traumatizing. It makes you scared to go on the road. Like,
yeah, you shouldn't have to be. And actually, not even on the road. It happened when Mahomes and Kelsey played the Saints on Monday Night Football here.
Right. And Joe Burrow was in Dallas. Like, that is.
Yeah.
That's very unfortunate that is happening.
No, it's really bad. It's really scary.
I really hope that, like, the NFL provides better security for those guys.
Yeah.
Because they don't deserve to go through that. So, shout out to Tua. And I think, who do you think wins, Dolphins, Texans?
I literally don't know.
You said the same too. They're both like,
no, Dolphins have 6 wins. The Texans have 8. The Texans just lost one of their best safeties to injured reserve.
Yep. Yeah, they did.
But I feel like they just had a bye week. I feel like they're
a little more rested.
Yeah. I mean, the Dolphins need it more.
But I think
interesting games.
Actually, no, I think the Texans need it a little bit more. They've taken some L's this season that they should not have taken.
No.
And I think that everybody has kind of had like a little bit of a higher expectation for them this year. They've had a higher expectation for them, but they're still having a good season. So I do think that the Texans pull out the win this week. As long as they play clean football, they should be able to win this week.
I think they should win, but I'm undecided. I think the Dolphins could win. I think the Texans should win. I think the Dolphins could win.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Bucks at Chargers.
That's also interesting.
They got all their receivers back.
Again, both teams need wins. They're both desperate for a win.
Because who in the heck is winning the NFC South right now?
Right now the Bucks are, but like by a game.
Yeah, I'm like by like the one Chargers, game. They have like
the Chargers are neck and neck with the Broncos, 8-5, both of them.
Yeah.
So
the Chargers need to win because the Broncos will probably win, if that makes sense.
And the Colts need to win if they want to have any playoff hopes.
Okay, so let's just talk about both of these games. The Bucks play the Chargers at 3:25, and the Colts play the Broncos at 3:25.
There's so many good 3:25 games, and I'm annoyed because I want to watch all of them, and they're all so freaking good.
But we play at noon, so you can.
What?
We play at noon.
Oh, so I know, but like, I'm annoyed that there's like 4 really good games.
I'm definitely gonna have multi-view on. Like,
bloop, yeah.
Thank you.
God, Bucks at Chargers.
Okay, so I think the Chargers went. I think the Chargers win.
Yeah.
Did the Broncos lose last week?
They were off by week.
Hmm.
And the Colts are desperate for.
They need a win.
They have to win.
They need a win. Broncos. I think the Broncos and the Chargers win this week, though. I think they both win.
No, stupid AFC West. You're probably right.
It'd be different if they sucked. They don't suck.
Actually, I think if the Broncos went to Indiana, I think they could lose. But I think the fact that they're going to Denver and playing in the Mile High, I think
the altitude might get to them. When's the last time they played in Denver? You know what
probably
I mean?
Ago. Yeah.
Anthony Richardson ever played in like that type of altitude before? I mean, probably not since college, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and take.
Yeah, I think the Broncos win, and I think probably Chargers too. Unfortunately,
yeah, I think the AFC pulls it
out. They can have. They can fight that out. Those two.
Yeah, they're still not gonna win the division. No,
oh my God. Well, I mean, yeah, you're not.
Battle
so
for the seven. Battle for the seven. I think the best get. I don't
see,
want
they're all
to say the best game of the day. So you get the Bills and the Lions and the Steelers and the Eagles also at 325.
Like, God.
I don't know how I don't even think I think those are the only two games I might watch. And I just might put multi-view on the other screen.
Okay. Right.
Those two games. So Bills and Lions, I am passionate about saying that the Lions are going to win this week. At home, yeah.
Yeah.
And the Bills' defense is terrible, and they can't stop the freaking run. David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs are going to go off. You should take them both for a touchdown this week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I am passionate about the Lions winning this week, mainly because as a Chiefs fan, I need them to win. But
I know.
I actually do. Out of the Bills' two games last week and this week, this was the one that I thought they were going to lose. I thought they were going to win last week against the Rams. So
the only thing is, I hate that the Bills have an edge right now because they do want to win very badly.
Yeah.
And their offense is good. I mean, Josh Allen is their offense.
Josh Allen is probably going to run it in for a touchdown. I would also
take Lions that. The Lions are very injured.
The Lions' second and third string defense looks a lot better than some of these people's first string defense.
I know. It's crazy.
Like,
I think the Lions win, especially the Bills didn't even practice today because of snow. I think the Lions, but I think it'll be really close. I think it could even go to overtime, but
yeah. I would be fine with that because the Sunday night football game is there. It's going to be good. Who do you think wins Steelers Eagles?
Again.
I actually think the Steelers win, and I know that they have a history of losing in Philadelphia. Like, they haven't won there, I think, and they said, like, the last,
but
like,
Russell Wilson wins there, which is crazy.
I think the Steelers beat the Eagles this week because the Steelers almost lost to the Panthers last week.
I know, but so did we.
Okay, so can the Steelers can stop the run?
I think that I'm going to take the Eagles.
I mean, that's not a bad pick. I'm taking Mike Tomlin over Nick Sirianni. I think that's it for me.
I think both are totally reasonable. So
Sunday night football.
These are tough.
Yeah.
Packers at Seahawks.
Seahawks need, well.
Again, both teams need a win.
The Packers need
a win. Games, actually.
Can the Seahawks lock the division up this week if they win? No?
I don't think so.
I think it's too early still. The Seahawks need to win. I'm going to say Seahawks because they're at home.
I kind of want to go Seahawks too. I never pick the Seahawks. And every time I pick the Seahawks, they lose. So I don't know. So Packers. I'll go Packers.
There you go. Monday night football, Bears and Vikings.
Vikings.
I like Vikings easy.
Monday night football is terrible. We also have Raiders and Falcons. And I'm like, that's also terrible.
That's awful. So what's your score prediction for Chiefs versus Browns?
Oh, let's say, God, it's going to be dumb. It's going to piss me off.
Yep. I'm like, yes.
I'm gonna say 25-20 Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm thinking like a 26, because we might like miss a field goal this week or something stupid. I think like 26-21. That's where I'm at. 26-21.
Pretty much.
26-21.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to these brand sponsors. There's so many.
I know.
There's so many. With another one on the way.
Oh, I just had the... I hate when my phone messes up.
Well, while you're licking that up, I'll start with Homage. Shout out to Homage, as they are preparing us for the holiday season and for Christmas. They are having different type of promotions on their website every single day. Please make sure that you tune in to Homage to see all of the gear that they have, all the promotions that they have for the holiday season, because literally Christmas is in like 2 weeks and I haven't bought a single gift yet. So please go on to the website, check out all the Chiefs gear they got, look at their discounts. They got some free shipping codes on there too. And get yourself ready for this Christmas holiday season. Can't believe Christmas is here already.
I'm stressed.
Very much.
I won't even talk about that yet. But we also want to talk about our sponsor, Autograph, because they are fantastic. We are super excited to be partnering with Autograph, a fandom company co-founded by NFL legend Tom Brady. Their new app, Autograph, which is lime green in the Apple Store or Google Play Store. Autograph gives diehard fans like you a one-stop shop for all the fan content for your favorite team, obviously the Chiefs, and rewards you for what you're doing already as a fan. For example, you can listen to our podcast, The Kingdom's Queens, anywhere, but when you listen on the Autograph app, you earn coins and that can be redeemed for amazing rewards, including free, discounted, and no-fee tickets, A-plus memorabilia, and merch in one-of-a-kind experiences. Download the Autograph app in the App Store or Google Play Store today for free and use our referral code Kingdoms Queens. That's referral code Kingdoms Queens. The Autograph app where your fandom lives.
So I know that we're not supposed to like have favorites here, but I want to talk to y'all about Pink Lips Cosmetics. So we did our Black Friday giveaway. We were able to give out to two lucky winners, which was fantastic. I hope that they are getting ready to receive their product. It is all so good. It's so great. Right. So shout out to our winners for the Black Friday promo. That was a lot of fun. It was a lot of engagement. And we really appreciate everybody that hung out with us on Twitter and went through products with us and all of that good stuff. So if you have not went to the website yet, please go to the website and know that you can still shop right now with our discount promo code, which is KQ15, and get 15% off. There's so much good stuff on there. The lip that Lexi has on today, I was like, oh my God, what is that? So I need to tell the people what your combination is, because I just have Halo on again today and finished.
Okay, I know. And I forgot the lipstick upstairs, but this is the lip oil I have on is color Blossom. I need to look up the lipstick color, but... it's a really like bright pink, kind of fun pinkish red color.
It's so cute. It's
more red. And then when I put it on, it turns a little more pink. Yeah. It's kind of like, it really lasts all day. I wore it to the Chiefs game on Sunday and it lasted me the entire evening without even having to reapply. So
it's
pretty much awesome. These are the perfect stocking stuffers for every woman in your life. If you have any men in your life that like to wear some stuff, you know, like,
You can't have chocolate.
More about it.
they do have like a vitamin C like lip oil chap as well, that it's not colorful. It's like, it's not even shiny either. It's just really like a big lip vitamin oil. Wow. Like you can use that, men, and then ladies, you could put like your lip gloss or your lipstick on top of that. Just like, you know, give that. It's so good. So shout out to Pink Lips. We absolutely love
this. Like,
yeah, I'm like, we absolutely love and adore them. But again, shop today, get 15% off.
And she has it's not even just lip. It's like she has contour, she has eyebrow pencils, she has eyeshadow palettes,
everything.
So check them out.
I have the concealer on today too. I put it on every day now, so I'm like just used to it. But like right here where my eyes are super like bright and highlighted, I have black concealer on. So like absolutely am like overly obsessed with Pink Lips. So make sure you go get that 15% off promo code with KQ15. Lastly, if you are in the episode, shout out to you and thank you for hanging out with us today. Oh, Boulevard Brewery.
Just a quick shout out to Boulevard, too.
Right. Boulevard. They always take care of us. They love us. They always send us booze. We always try to go to their events. It's a great connection, and we absolutely love them. And we probably actually have another sponsorship coming to y'all in the next couple of weeks. So be listening into that, too, because for some reason, people love us, and we love y'all, too. But if you are listening to this episode right now, shout out to the over 1,100 people who are in here today. Please make sure you go like this episode. If you are on YouTube, I'm gonna show you how to do it, especially if you're on your phone. When you're on the episode, if you're in the comment section, you can just tab down where the little bar is, and then you can press the like button. You don't even have to leave the episode to do it. You can do it while you're inside of here. So scroll down in the comments and hit the like button over to the like and like our episode. And just shout out to y'all and thank y'all so much for the engagement. Yes, Feliz Navidad.
I got my tree up. It's blurred in the background, but you can kind of see.
But we'll be back Tuesday. We'll be back Tuesday. So, I mean,
we'll be back Tuesday.
We'll be back on Tuesday. So, y'all aren't missing. We'll be here for sure before Christmas. So, shout out to you.
Yeah. We got a lot to cover these next 2 weeks. So, exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be busy. Don't be surprised if we maybe do a bonus episode, because 3 games, 10 days, we can't like cover 2 games. It's gonna be a lot. Bear with us, and then we got like a long break. So yeah, but no.
Yeah.
Thank you everybody for hanging out and tapping in with us today. Again, if you're on Twitter, please like the episodes, retweet Lexi and me and Kingdom Queens this episode, so we could just try to get out to as many people as possible. Again, we are the only all-female podcast in Chiefs Kingdom, so we love being here with y'all.
Thank y'all for tuning in, and go Chiefs. Don't let this Browns game be a trap.
Oh, my God. Do not be a trap game. Please.
No,
we're going to get the win. We're going to get the win. 13-1 coming soon.
We're doing it. 13 is the number. All right. See y'all.
Bye.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.